The Ramban tells us in the very beginning of his Pirush Shal HaTorah that Yesh Lanu Kabbalah Shel Emes Shekol HaTorah Kula Shmosim Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we have a mystical tradition that the entire Torah Hashem, Torah Shebichtav, can spell out the various names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we know the secret, we could arrange them in a proper sequence, and we would not have any additional or any missing letters. And the Ramban tells us that lest you think that simply this is just esoteric Kabbalah, the Ramban writes that it's for that very reason that if you have a Sefer Torah that has any additional or any missing words or letters, that the Sefer Torah is fossil, because now you've broken that correspondence between Shem Hashem and the Torah Hashem. A fascinating concept that the Ramban writes. That would mean, according to the Ramban, that each and every letter of the Torah is considered to be of infinite value, infinite worth, even if the letter itself doesn't change the meaning that the Pasuk is trying to convey, but nonetheless, it would break that correspondence of Shmos of Shmo Kadosh Baruch Hu if, in fact, it is missing. This seemingly is against the comment that the Minchas Chinuch has in the very last of Tayag Mitzvos, the Mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. There the Torah teaches us, Kisvulachem es Hashira Hazos, we're obligated to write the Sefer Torah. The Rishonim already were troubled that why is it that you didn't find even in their time that everyone was writing their own Sefer Torah. And one of the stunning answers that the Shagazari mentions is that presumably the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is to write a kosher Sefer Torah. And the question is, are we able to do so, to write a kosher Sefer Torah? After all, every letter is considered to be absolutely critical, and the Gemara already points out in Kedushin, Anano Bekeinon V'Chaseros V'Yaseros, that Chazal were not sure whether certain Vavs should be there, or whether Vavs should not. When it comes to Chaseros V'Yaseros, something that is rendered in the plural, sometimes it's written Chaser, sometimes it's written Male, and the Gemara admits that they weren't sure of the placement regarding certain Vavs in the Sefer Torah. Shagasai writes the very great Kiddush. Well, if that is true, we cannot be assured that we are writing a kosher Sefer Torah, and as such, maybe that's why throughout our history that you didn't find this mitzvah was readily fulfilled. A very great Kiddush. If you look in the Minchas Chinuch, as mentioned, the very last mitzvah, Minchas Chinuch writes that how can this be? How can the Gemara tell us that we're not sure regarding the placement of certain vavs? After all, so many drashos min haTorah are based on the placement of a vav, that something is read in the plural, but it's written in the singular. Tefillin, for example, we pronounce totafos, even though it is written chaser tatfas. When it comes to how many zrikos dam are necessary on the mizbeach, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin and Daf Dalet and Daf Hey that the pasuk is written karnas, but we read it karnos. When it comes to David Minim, there kapos and kapas, sukkah, sukkas and sukkos, so many drashos min haTorah are based on singular as opposed to plural. How can you argue that, you know, we really are uncertain as to whether a vav belongs or whether it does not? The Minchas Chinuch writes, the interesting chiddush, that, you know, that it really depends. Some vavs are critical and others are not as crucial. If you deal with a vav that changes the meaning of the word, it shifts it from singular to plural, that is something which is critical. But sometimes you could have a vav which really is not that relevant when it comes to the meaning that the Torah is trying to convey. The Torah can refer to Aron HaKohen, Aron written with a vav or Aron without a vav. There, regardless of how you spell the name, it is clear what exactly the reference is. The Minchas Chinuch writes as follows, that anything that doesn't alter the change, that's where the Gemara says we're not sure whether a vav should be there or whether it should not. But anything that impacts on meaning, then clearly Chazal were quite meticulous regarding the placement of the vavs. And then the Minchas Chinuch writes is very great Kiddush. The only time the Sefer Torah would be fossil, if it has any missing or additional letters, is if that letter would impact, would change the meaning of the word, the meaning of the pasuk. If that would not be the case, we would not assume that that's true. You know, it's not necessarily identical, but similar to the Machlokas Rishonim, a Balkore makes a mistake. When do you correct the Balkore, and when in fact do you not? So one extreme position is the Rambam, Perek Beis of Hilchos Tefillah, where the Rambam writes that even Dikduk Os Akas, even if a nuance, a slight mistake is made regarding a single letter, in such a case one must correct the Balkore. So the Matrix maintained Rishon Rabbeinu that applies even to Trup as well. In a word, according to the Rambam's view, Kriyas HaTorah must be flawless. Why is that the case? Because the Rambam seems to indicate that, you know, the purpose of Kriyas HaTorah is not just simply Talmud Torah B'tzibur. After all, one could fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah even if something is read somewhat differently. You read an S as an S or an S as an S. In terms of Talmud Torah, that would nonetheless be accomplished. But the purpose, as Mama Rittenberg explains and others, many indications this is true, that Kriyas HaTorah, its purpose is to replicate Mamed Har Sinai. And if that really is true, that way that the Torah is conveyed must be without any error whatsoever, in a flawless fashion, and as such, even Dikduk Achas is considered to be the Kuvah. The other extreme is the view of the Sefer HaManhig, where the Sefer HaManhig writes that the purpose of Kriyas HaTorah is for Talmud Torah, and even if you'll mispronounce a word, still one would accomplish the Talmud Torah, and therefore not to correct the Balkari, because you're unnecessarily embarrassing him, unless he makes such a grievous error. The example that the Baal HaManhig gives is he reads the Pasuk of Hashem Echad, and instead of pronouncing the last letter as a Dalit, he pronounces it as a Resh, so you have to object. What he's saying is Chiruf Agiduf, it's blasphemy. That you have to correct. Short of that, don't correct the Balkore. The Beis Yosef writes that the intermediate position is it depends. If it's a mistake that impacts on meaning, then you correct. If it's not, then b'diev that you let that go. The S and the Ace you're not going to correct, because that doesn't change, it doesn't alter the scope, the meaning of the pasuk, and therefore that is something that one would not go ahead and correct. The Menachas Sinach is not discussing correcting the Balkore or not, but rather simply whether the Sefer Torah is kosher, whether it is possible, perhaps only that type of error, that type of mistake in the Sefer Torah that would alter the meaning of the pasuk, that is considered to be critical. So I would just comment, a beautiful Kiddush Menachas Sinach writes, but clearly against this view of the Ramban. The Ramban writes that the reason every letter is critical is not simply because of the meaning that the pasuk is trying to convey, but rather because every letter corresponds to Ishem Hashem. Torah is considered to be Shmos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And well, that wouldn't impact in terms of how it's written, but if you're writing any mistake in terms of the Ksiva Sefer Torah, that is necessary. The parallel to Kriyas HaTorah would be like the Rambam, that perhaps any flaw, even an SNA, is worthy of correction. This concept, the Ramban writes, is pretty critical. The Torah is considered to be Shem Hashem. In fact, Rashi writes in Shmos and Perach Chaf Aleph that there is a reference to the Moshal HaKadmoni, the old ancient Moshal. What is the original Moshal? Rashi writes, after all, Torah to an extent is Kaviyachal, an image, a Moshal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself through the Torah as Hashem, as Ramban writes that the Torah is actually considered to be Shmos of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara writes in Brachos and Davav that Minayin She'echa She'yoshev Elomed She'Hashchina Imo. How do you know when a person engages in Limud HaTorah that invokes Hashras HaShchina? The Gemara calls the Pasuk B'chol HaMakom Asher Azkir Eshmi, Avoidach Vaveraticha. The act of Limud HaTorah is invoking Shem Hashem. It doesn't simply mean because sometimes when you're learning you utilize the Shem Hashem, but rather Torah in its broadest sense. Torah is considered to be Shmos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And perhaps one clear indication this is true is the daily bracha that we recite of Birchas HaTorah. The Gemara raises in Brachos and Daf Chof Aleph, Minayin the Birchas HaTorah Lifoneha Min HaTorah. How do you know that a person is obligated to recite Birchas HaTorah. And the Gemara quotes the post at the end of Chumash Dvarim that Kishem Hashem Ekra Avogod Adolokeinu. Kishem Hashem Ekra. When we invoke Shem Hashem, we're obligated to ascribe greatness to the Shem Hashem, and therefore Birchas HaTorah. What exactly is the meaning of that drasha of Kishem Hashem Ekra Avogod Adolokeinu? So if you look in Rashi in the Gemara Brachos and Daf Kaf Aleph, Rashi writes the following. Kishem Hashem Ekra is what Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu said as follows, I'm about to teach you the Torah Hashem. That's not the reference of the Pasuk, but I'm about to teach you the Torah Hashem. So now, Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I, Moshe Rabbeinu, recite Birchas HaTorah, Havogod L'Elokeinu, each of you answer Amen. So the theme of the entire Pasuk is Birchas HaTorah. The Pasuk is not addressing the substance of the Limud, but rather it is addressing Birchas HaTorah itself. But if you look in the Marsha, in that Gemara, in Brachos and Daf Kaf Aleph, and you look in the Pirush of the Charedim of the Yerushalmi, in Perek Zayin of Yerushalmi, their Marsha and the Charedim argue quite differently. No, it means Kishem Hashem Ekra, when you involve yourself in Torah Hashem, Limud HaTorah, because Torah is called Shem Hashem. Then Havogod L'Elokeinu, you're obligated to recite Birchas HaTorah. And the Marsha cites this Ramban, after all, Torah is considered to be Shmos Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kishem Hashem Ekra Havogod L'Elokeinu, Torah is considered to be Shem Hashem. You know, the Gemara uses that pasuk of Kishem Hashem Ekra for a different purpose. The Gemara Yuman Daf Lamed Hey, HaKonim Ha'am. When the Kohen Gadol recites, when he invokes the Shem HaMforash, everyone is obligated to respond, to say, Baruch Shem Kod Mochusso, as we relate on Yom Kippur. How do you know that that is true? Again, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Avogod L'Elokeinu. So the Gemara uses this pasuk then for two purposes. One is when you hear the Shem HaMforash, and the other is when you are Osek B'Torah. And in essence, really, it is a single drasha. After all, how is it that we invoke Shem Hashem? Well, one obvious example is when you mention the Shem HaForash. But the other example is Esek B'Torah. Why? Because involvement in the Torah Hashem, that is Kishem Hashem Ekra Havogod L'Elokeinu, and that is the source of Birchas HaTorah, Torah serving as Shmos of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you look in the Ramban found elsewhere in Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban has a section which is called Mitzvos Sheshafach HaRav, the mitzvos that the Rambam somehow forgot to mention. In Mitzvos Asei Tezvav, the Ramban is troubled by Birchas HaTorah. You look in Taryag Mitzvos, you will not find that the Rambam counts Birchas HaTorah as one of the 613 mitzvos. And the Ramban writes, why is this true? After all, the Gemara is explicit. Minayin the Birchas HaTorah lifaneha min HaTorah. It sounds almost explicit in the Gemara that Birchas HaTorah is min HaTorah. And therefore, how is it that the Rambam does not mention this as part of Taryag Mitzvos? The Ramban writes clearly, Birchas HaTorah is indeed a mitzvah daraisa. As to why it is that the Rambam does not mention this, one could suggest a number of possibilities. One possibility perhaps is as follows, that according to the Rambam, Birchas HaTorah is only nidrabanan. It's unusual to have a bracha daraisa. And perhaps the Rambam understood that that drasha of the Gemara is not a literal drasha in HaTorah, but rather it is only an asmachta. It is not so uncommon that the Gemara will utilize the pasuk to teach us a din derabanan, and maybe this is true regarding Birchas HaTorah. That's what, for example, the Shagasari maintains, Hamachlokas, the Rambam, and the Ramban, as to whether Birchas HaTorah is daraisa, or whether it is only derabanan. But if you look in the Mabit, in his Sefer, which is called Kirya Sefer, he points out the following. You look as an introduction to Kirya Sefer, in Perek Vav, he writes the following, that now you're going to come across various disputes between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether something should be counted in Sefer Mitzvos, whether it should not. The vast majority of those issues, the Mabit writes, are technical in nature. One should not necessarily conclude that they argue about whether it is min HaTorah or whether it is drabanan. Maybe everyone could agree that in fact it is min HaTorah, but for some technical reason, the Rambam or the Ramban would argue one should not count it independently. And later, the Mabit cites as an example Birchas HaTorah. The Ramban writes clearly that this is a mitzvah daraisa. The Rambam also agrees that it's a mitzvah min HaTorah. Why is it not counted? The chiddush that the Mabit writes is according to the Rambam, it is not an independent mitzvah min HaTorah, but rather it is subsumed under a broader heading, namely Talmud Torah. There's a mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, and part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the bracha that you recite at that time. And therefore, Talmud Torah uberchoseha, that is considered to be the mitzvah daraisa. This possibility that the Mabit writes in Kriya Sefer, the Ramban already addresses. The Ramban writes, the Rambam should have counted Birchas HaTorah as an independent mitzvah. And maybe you will tell me the reason he doesn't do so is because it's subsumed under the broadest heading of Talmud Torah. The Ramban writes, that's very difficult. Why? Because as follows. If you look in Sefer HaMitzvos, you find that the Rambam counts the mitzvah of Bikurim as a mitzvah. Offering Bikurim, Havas Bikurim. But then the Rambam also counts Mikra Bikurim as a separate mitzvah. So the Ramban writes the book. If the Rambam would have counted Havas Bikurim and Mikra Bikurim as one mitzvah, then I could argue that analogous to that is Talmud Torah and Birchas HaTorah. Make sense? But the fact that the Rambam counts Mikra Bikurim and Havas Bikurim, you see that the Amira is counted independently. So why should you argue that Talmud Torah and Birchas HaTorah is a single mitzvah? That's the first kasha that the Ramban raises. And then the Ramban adds another kasha. This second kasha sounds quite difficult. And that is another example. The Rambam counts the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Achilas Korban Pesach as one mitzvah. As two separate mitzvahs. So if what the Ramban writes is really true according to the Rambam, that Birchas HaTorah and Talmud Torah is one mitzvah, so Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Korban Pesach should also be one mitzvah. And the fact that the Rambam counts them separately should indicate consistently that Rambam should count Birchas HaTorah and Talmud Torah separately as well. That question seems somewhat difficult. Now, after all, I understand the analogy between Talmud Torah and Birchas HaTorah and Mikra Bikurim and Havas Bikurim. That I understand. That requires some teretz. But if I were to ask you, why is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Korban Pesach two separate mitzvos? You probably would turn to me and say, well, why in the world should you think that they're one mitzvah? After all, they're clearly independent mitzvos. Now, Bizman Hazeh. We have a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, even though Korban Pesach, we don't have this manazah. Why would you think that it's one mitzvah? I understand why you could argue that Talmud Torah and Birchas HaTorah is a single mitzvah. For Havas Bikurim, Mikra Bikurim, each element is considered to be a detail of a prat in prate ha-mitzvah. But why would one think that that's true when it comes to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Apparently you see that Ramban understood that the link between Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Korban Pesach is quite a direct one. We discussed before Pesach that one of the unique elements of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is the mitzvos halayla, not really as independent mitzvos, but their critical role in framing the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore the Ramban writes that he thinks it's analogous to Birchas HaTorah in Talmud Torah, because even the Ramban does not necessarily maintain there's such a direct link between Talmud Torah and Birchas HaTorah. Because A, the Ramban maintains that Birchas HaTorah is daraisa, and B, what is its nature? What type of bracha is it? The Ramban argues it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah, and the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. After all, the whole concept of a Birchas HaMitzvah we only assume is Darabanan. If you're arguing this is a bracha daraisa, where is there a bracha daraisa? The other example of a bracha daraisa is Birchas HaMazon. Birchas HaMazon is not a Birchas HaMitzvah. That's a form of a Birchas Hodah. So consistently the Ramban writes that the Gemara compares Birchas HaTorah to Birchas HaMazon. They're both brachos daraisa, and they're both forms of Birchas Hodah. We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Kabbalah HaTorah. According to Ramban, it does relate in the most direct sense to Talmud Torah, but rather the opportunity of thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu daily for the experience of Kabbalah HaTorah, not merely to do so once a year on Shavuos, but according to the view of the Ramban, each and every day, that is the obligation of Birchas HaTorah. So the Ramban is clear. It is considered to be Birchas Hodah. similar to Birchas HaMazon. The fact that Birchas HaTorah could be Min HaTorah, but not counted independently in Sefer HaMitzvot, seems clear from the Sefer HaChinuch. Because the Sefer HaChinuch follows the Rambam and does not count Birchas HaTorah as one of the Tariq Mitzvot. But if you look later in Sefer HaMitzvot, in Mitzvah Tuf Lamed, that's where the Sefer HaChinuch discusses the Mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon. And there the Sefer HaChinuch writes, realize there's something highly unusual about Birchas HaMazon, namely that it's a bracha min HaTorah. And it's quite unusual to have a bracha min HaTorah, because as the Sefer HaChinuch spells out, the only other place that you have it is when it comes to Birchas HaTorah. So the Sefer HaChinuch is explicit that Birchas HaTorah is daraisa, even though he does not count it independently as one of Taryag Mitzvos. And perhaps it's because, according to Sefer HaChinuch, it is subsumed under the broadest heading of Talmud Torah. So, various possibilities, whether indeed it's daraisa, whether it is not, and then the nature of the bracha. So according to Ramban, it is the Birchas Hodah for Kabbalah HaTorah. The Vilna Gaon disagrees and assumes that Birchas HaTorah is a Birchas HaMitzvah and the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and this seemingly is the assumption of at least one of you in Tosfos and Rav HaSadaf Yud Aleph. The Vilna Gaon makes the comment several places in Simen Mem Zayin, that's the Simen of Birchas HaTorah. Among them is the very end of that Simen in Simen Mem Zayin Sif Yudalid, where the Mechaber writes Nashim Mevarchos Birchas HaTorah. Women recite Birchas HaTorah. And the question is, on what basis do women recite Birchas HaTorah? After all, women are exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Why is it that they recite Birchas HaTorah? The Magen Avraham writes the following comment, that Mechayavin Lilmod Dinim Shelahem, that the women are obligated to study the halachos that pertain to them, and therefore they recite Birchas HaTorah. And there the Vilna Gaon is quite bothered. What do you mean women are obligated? It's true. Women have to observe Shabbos, they have to observe Kashrus, and therefore they have to know Dine Shabbos, they have to know Dine Kashrus, but nonetheless, they are still exempt from the technical mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. After all, that is what the Vilna Gaon writes. The Pasuk tells us, Limatam Asamas B'neichem, the drasha of the Gemara in Kedushin, B'neichem V'lo B'noseichem. Women are exempt from Birchas HaTorah. And therefore, how can you argue Nashim Mevarchos Birchas HaTorah? So the Vilna Gaon assumes that what exactly do we mean, Nashim Mevarchos Birchas HaTorah? Women must, or women may? Women may. The Vilna Gaon writes, Nashim Mevarchos Birchas HaTorah means Eino Mitzvah Be'osa. Women may recite Birchas HaTorah. Women may recite a bracha on Sukkah and on Lulav and on Shofar, even though they're exempt. The same thing is true when it comes to Birchas HaTorah as well. So the Vilna Gaon assumes that women are exempt from Birchas HaTorah. The recitation of that bracha is only Eino Mitzvah Be'osa. What's difficult is that's fine according to the view of Tosis, according to the view of the Rama, that women have the option of reciting a bracha even though they are exempt, but the Mechaber, based on the Rambam, does not allow that at all. The Mechaber writes a bracha can only be recited when one is obligated. That's what the Rambam writes in Per Gimel of Tosfos. Only if you're obligated in a mitzvah can you recite a bracha. It is true that women can perform various mitzvos optionally, lulav, sukkah, shofar, and the like, but they cannot recite a bracha. It's not clear why not, according to the view of the Rambam. The Magen Mishnah, for example, writes that, you know what? The problem is the word vitzivanu. How can women recite vitzivanu if they, in fact, are exempt? But that itself is a chiddush. In other words, the only reason that women cannot recite a bracha on a mitzvah they're exempt from is because of the phrase vitzivanu. If not for that phrase, even the Rambam would allow its recitation. But how can they recite the word vitzivanu? That implies a personal chiyu. That's not so simple, because, you know, one could envision various brachos that women might be exempt from, even though they don't necessarily contain the word vitzivanu. And is it so obvious, then, that women could recite that bracha according to the Rambam? You know, the Achronim debate whether women are obligated in Stukei Dezimra. Rabban Yosef writes that they're not. They're exempt from Baruch Shamar. They're exempt from Yishtaba. Well, Baruch Shem Yishtaba don't contain the Sivano Kiddush Lavana. Perhaps women are exempt, but it doesn't contain the word Vitzivano Havdalah. Today is in Shulchan Aruch and Reish Tzadi Vav. Perhaps women are exempt from Havdalah. It doesn't contain the word Vitzivano. What about Tfilas Musaf? What about Berachas Kriya Shema? There are many examples of brachos women might be exempt from that don't contain the word Vitzivano. Is it so obvious that even the Rambam would allow women to recite these brachos? Because as long as the word Vitzivano is not mentioned, in such a case there is no problem which is posed. Ravadi Yosef, for example, writes that he thinks the Rambam Shita is not related to the word Vitzivano, but very simply, according to the Rambam, the Chachamim only established a bracha on a mitzvah that you are obligated to perform, irrespective of the technical phrase. And therefore women would not recite brachos if they are exempt, even if the bracha does not contain the word Vitzivano, but an interesting issue. So if the Mechaber writes that Eino Mitzviyosa cannot recite a bracha, how can the Mechaber argue that women recite Berachas HaTorah? Apparently it means that women must recite Berachas HaTorah, not women may recite Berachas HaTorah. This is fine and good according to the Ramban. The Ramban, who argues that Berachas HaTorah is a form of Hodah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah Hashem, so that's something that is relevant to men and to women alike, and therefore Nashim Mevarchos Berachas HaTorah, that women are obligated to recite Berachas HaTorah. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah has two deos, the very end of Simin Mem Zayin in Bir Halacha. Can women be motzi men in Berachas HaTorah? We're looking for someone who slept or is able to recite Berachas HaTorah. A woman walks in Shavuos morning. Can women recite Berachas HaTorah on behalf of men? Well, one could discuss. If Nashim Mevarchos Berachas HaTorah means that women are obligated to, according to the Vilna Gaon, certainly not. It means women do so b'toras eino metzuviyose, without an obligation. Certainly they cannot go ahead and do so. So again, two possibilities: women must or women may. The Brisker Rav points out this difficulty, that how can you argue that the Mechaber means that women may recite Berachas HaTorah, and Mitzviyose does not recite a bracha? And the Brisker Rav in Hilchos Brachos quotes B'Shem Rav Chaim the following, that Berachas HaTorah is a very different type of bracha entirely. You know, we're used to categories of a Berachas HaNenen, a Berachas HaMitzvah. Yeah, these categories are true when it comes to brachos drabanan. This is a bracha min HaTorah. And the Gemara says, what is its source? Hishem Hashem Ekra. When you invoke Shem Hashem. And therefore, Rabbi Chaim Brisker pointed out as follows, this is a unique type of bracha, that Shem Hashem, invocation of the Shem Hashem, that requires a bracha. If someone were to ask you that, why, when I hear the Shema Farish, am I obligated to respond, I wouldn't use the term of a Berachas HaMitzvah, I wouldn't use the term of a Berachas HaNenen, but rather, Azkara Shem Shemaim requires a bracha. And this is what the Brisker Rav quotes for Shem Rav Chaim, that Berachas HaTorah is a bracha on Chetzi Shel Torah. The content, the substance of Torah itself requires a bracha. We recite a bracha on Kriyas HaTorah. We recite a bracha on a Haftorah. What is its purpose? When we invoke, when we recite Sukkei HaTorah, on that, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havogod Lokeinu. Not necessarily as a form of a Berachas HaTorah, or as a Berachas HaMitzvah, not as a Berachas HaNenen, but rather, the Chetzi Shel Torah, Shem Hashem, that requires a bracha. Is there any indication to maintain that this, in fact, is true? This unique bracha, Berachas HaTorah of Kishem Hashem Ekra. So when you look in the Gemara Brachos and Daf Yud Aleph from the days, you find a very unusual machlokas amoraim. What form of limud HaTorah requires Berachas HaTorah? What type of learning? So the Gemara quotes the view of Rav Huna, lemikra tzorech levarech. You only recite Berachas HaTorah on Torah Shebitzav. Sounds unusual. Only on Torah Shebitzav. Not on Torah Shebapeh. On Medrash or Mishnah or Talmud. Eino Tzorech Levarech. Quite unusual. No, the Shita of Rav Huna. And then the Gemara quotes the Shita of Rav Elazar, the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe not. Maybe even on Medrash. Maybe even on Mishnah. And we accept the halacha, the view of Rava, af le Talmud tzorech levarech. Ah, the chiddush of Rava, that you recite Berachas HaTorah, even on Torah Shebapeh. well, what exactly is that machlokes? And how do you understand the shita of Rav Huna? You only recite Birchas HaTorah on Torah Shebichtav. At first glance, it would seem quite difficult to assume that Birchas HaTorah is a Birchas HaMitzvah, and you only recite the bracha on Torah Shebichtav and not Torah Shebichtav. You mean when you engage in Torah Shebichtav, that is not the mitzvah of Talmud? So, how can that be? It would seem that clearly Rav Huna is not working with the category of a Birchas HaMitzvah, but a different type of bracha. That fits in very nicely with Rav Chaim. And that is that, look, it's a bracha on Shem Hashem, Ekra. Chetzah Shel Torah, Shmos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Undeniably, Torah Shebaal Peh is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But I will suggest there's a marked difference between Torah Shebichtav as opposed to Torah Shebaal Peh when it comes to Shem Hashem, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra. That Ramban, Torah Shmos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a reference to the Torah Shebichtav. Any letter of Torah Shebichtav which is missing, any additional letter, that is Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havukod Lelokeinu. And if that is true, one could then distinguish between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. I'll give you an example. A fascinating comment of Shofar HaRav. This is found in Yeradei in Hokus Talmud Torah, in Perek Beis. A person is learning, and he doesn't understand that which he learns. Does he fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah without understanding? That's the question that Shofar HaRav poses. And you know what he answers? It depends on Torah Shebichtav as opposed to Torah Shebaal Peh. What do we mean by Torah Shebaal Peh without understanding? Torah Shebaal Peh is itself an elucidation, an elaboration. What does it mean to explain without Havana, to elaborate without understanding? What does that mean? Torah Shebichtav, even if a person doesn't necessarily understand, but undeniably he has invoked Shem Hashem, the recitation of the pasuk itself, isn't that Kishem Hashem Ekra Havogoda Lelokeinu? And perhaps similarly, one could argue as follows: that the uniqueness of Torah as Shmos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the difference between Torah Shebichtav as opposed to Torah Shebaal Peh. And you understand very well the view of Rav Huna that Birchas HaTorah is limited to Torah Shebichtav, not Torah Shebaal Peh. In fact, maybe one could argue the opposite question. If the entire purpose of the bracha and its sources, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, how do you understand the view of Rava that you make this bracha even on Torah Shebaal Peh? How do you understand that possibility? See, if you look in Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah and that Gemara Brachos and Daf Yud Aleph, they explain this view of Rava, that Af L'Talmud Tzorech Levarech, in different ways. It's a subtle difference, but nonetheless, it's clear that Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah are not explaining in the exact same fashion. Rashi writes as follows: but how is it possible to recite Birkas HaTorah and Torah Shebaal Peh? Rashi writes, what do you mean? Torah Shebaal Peh is Ikar HaHorah. Torah Shebaal Peh, that is the main element of Talmud Torah. How would you be able to paskin? How would you be able to convey the Torah Shebichtav alone without the Torah Shebaal Peh? Rabbeinu Yonah explains very differently. Why is it that Rava argues that you make Birchas HaTorah and Torah Shebaal Peh? Rabbeinu Yonah explains, because Torah Shebaal Peh is simply a pirush of Torah Shebichtav. They don't sound identical, no? Why do I make a bracha on Torah Shebaal Peh? Rashi writes, because that is Ikar HaHorah. Rabbeinu Yonah writes, because simply it's a pirush of Torah Shebichtav. So you get the impression, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, that everyone agrees, that fundamentally the bracha is Torah Shebichtav. And therefore, if you're going to justify reciting a bracha on anything else other than Torah Shebichtav, the explanation is going to be, well, look, Torah Shebaal Peh is not a vacuum, independent of, but simply it's an elaboration of. When I go ahead and I give a shir on Lamed Tes Melachos, I'm explaining the pasuk of Lo Sasa Ko Melacha. And therefore, in essence, that is a pirish of Torah Shebichtav. Rashi doesn't explain that the license to recite a bracha on Torah Shebaal Peh is because it is a pirish of Torah Shebichtav, but rather very simply because Torah Shebaal Peh in and of itself, but requires the bracha. That is Ikar Hahora, Machlokas between Rashi and Rav Eniyahu. And perhaps to an extent one could understand that, look, if Birkas HaTorah, let's assume according to Vilna Gaon, it's a bracha which is on the mitzvah of Liman HaTorah, so obviously the mitzvah of Liman HaTorah is fulfilled through Tor Shabbat Peh. If it's a bracha of Kishen Hashem Ekra, then you're going to have to explain its recitation going back to Shmos HaShem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, going back to Shem Hashem. You know what's somewhat difficult? The view of the Vilna Gaon, the Birkas HaTorah is indeed a Birkas HaMitzvah. So how does that fit in the Gemara according to every other view? It fits well the way we assume the halacha, like the view of Rava, up with Talmud Tzarech Lavarei. But if you assume is that any of the other aforementioned views, that of Rav Huna, or of Rav Eliezer, or of Rabbi Yochanan, whether it is limited to Mikra, or even to Medrash, or even to Mishnah, but not to Talmud, how do you understand that in light of the Hagdarah, the category of the Birkas HaMitzvah? So maybe one could suggest the following possibility. In a very, very different context, an interesting chiddush that Rav Ashois points out, it's found in the Haggadah in Simin Gimel, where he writes, you know, sometimes the Gemara will tell us a Hagdara, a definition, or the Gemara will tell us, for example, a reason for a particular mitzvah. But you know what? In application, one cannot always apply the reason in its broadest sense. You can't always apply the Hagdara universally. Sometimes it's true, this is the reason, but you know what? The halacha is not going to transcend that which is explicit in the pasuk itself. And then Rav Ashois cites a couple of examples. One example is as follows. You know that the Torah grants the right of hafara to the husband. The woman can go ahead and make an eder, and the baal can be mefer that particular neder. Why exactly is that true? So in terms of its reason, the tam, the hagdara, the Gemara writes in the Dharma Dapayin Gimel, the view of Rav Pinchas, because after all, kol hanoderes, aldas baile hinoderes. When she makes a neder, literally it means she does so conditionally that the husband will in fact agree. Kol hanoderes, aldas baile hinoderes. Now the Ran already points out, that is not to be understood, even though perhaps that is the Hagdara, that is the framework, that is the definition, that is the reason for Hafara, but certainly one would not limit or expand the scope of the Halacha based on Kol HaNoderes Hadas Bami HaNoderes. Let's assume, for example, the woman makes an edda, she says, I do not desire that my husband should have any right of Hafara, but we would still grant that particular right. Let's assume, for example, a person will make a neder, and they would say, you know, when I made this neder, I had in mind that a stranger should be able to be made for the neder. We wouldn't say that someone else has a schus hafara. One could uproot the neder through she'elas chacham, a different tool. But we wouldn't argue that someone has the right technically of hafara just simply based on the reason of kol hanoderes al das. You know there is, no? In other words, that even though this might be the underlying principle, but nonetheless the scope of the halakha is not limited to that framework, to that context. The context of hafara is delineated, and as the pasuk tells us, that's when there is ability of hafara itself. And sometimes, if it's not explicit in the pasuk, we will utilize that principle of kol hanoderes aldas baile hinoderes. That's the Gemara Nedarim. What the Gemara has in Bavastra Kuflintes? The Torah tells us that krover, relatives, cannot go ahead and serve as Aden. If I were to ask you why is that true? Well, the Gemara states as follows. Gzeira sakasa. What about two brothers who wouldn't allow them to testify? Why is that true? Is it because of the closeness? The two brothers are so close, so obviously I have a negiyah, some nogevadavar, I have a vested interest. Let's assume two brothers come to Beis Din and they testify against each other. Not one testifies against the brother. Look, as much as I love you, but I have to be honest, it didn't happen. Now, we would accept that edus, we would say, obviously not. Brothers are considered to be possible edus. Moshe and Aaron would come to Beis Din. It's not a matter of nemanos, that there's a chash of sheker, but then the Torah says, brothers cannot go in and testify. In other words, as the Gemara seems to spell, allowed, Babasa Kufmantes, that Krovim are postulated as a Gzeres HaMelech, not just simply as a function of the possibility of my vested interest, and therefore a chashash of sheker. But interestingly, when you look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Chafes, the Gemara tells us the following. We know that a husband cannot testify on behalf of his wife. Exactly when is that true? Is that true only after Nisuin? Or is that even after Erisin, even after the first stage of marriage? The Gemara says, what do you mean? The reason a husband can't testify regarding his wife is because of the kruvei data, because of the closeness that the husband and wife share. And the Gemara writes, that's true even after Erisin. Doesn't require Nisuin. So somewhat unusual. The Gemara writes that krovim erpostol edus ha'agzeres ha'melech. And the Gemara wants to know to what type of issues does this apply, Eris and Yisun. The Gemara says, well, it's a function of Kiruv Hadas. It's a function of is it a function of closeness? Or is it a function of simply Gzeres HaKasa? The answer is as follows. Of course it may very well be that Ikruvei Data, closeness, is considered to be part of the reason that a Karov is Pasolegos. But you cannot expand or limit the scope of the halacha just based on that reason at all. I'll argue, well, it only applies to brothers who are close. Or I'll argue, it only applies to brothers testifying in favor of one another, not testifying against each other. The pasuk says expressly that brothers cannot testify, and therefore you can't alter the domain, the scope, the reach of the halacha based on that hagdara. So it's an important principle. And that is that even if I will tell you that this is the rationale, this is the reason, this is the underlying principle, but you can't allow that principle, a life of its own, above and beyond that which is explicit in the pasuk. I would suggest that perhaps that's relevant to Berachas HaTov. In other words, even if you assume you're obligated to recite Berachas HaTov, and I ask you, what is its nature? And the Vilna Gaon writes, what do you mean it's a bracha on Talmud Torah? It's a bracha on Talmud Torah. Well, if that's true, so isn't it obvious all Talmud Torah? The answer is not necessarily, because its source is the pasuk of Tishem Hashem Ekrav. And therefore the pasuk explicitly limits it to Shem Hashem. And Shem Hashem is Tor Shebichsav, not Tor Shebalteh. And therefore, even if the Hagdara, the Tam, is a form of a Birchas Hanenin, a Birchas Mitzvah, but nonetheless, its domain is explicit. And therefore it's limited to that domain. And therefore, even Rabbeinu Yonah, in explaining why you recite Birchas HaTorah and Torah Shebal Peh, Rabbi Yonah explains it has to be because it relates to as a pirish of Torah Shebichsav, because the domain which is explicit in Chumash is Torah Shebichsav, not Torah Shebal Peh. One could raise the following question, and what about according to Rashi? Rashi says we recite Birchas HaTorah and Torah Shebal Peh not because that it filters, not because it's a pirish of Torah Shebichsav, but rather it's Ikar Ha'ora, Torah Shebal Peh in and of itself requires a bracha. How do you understand that possibly? Doesn't the pasuk say Ki Shem Hashem Ekra? And Shem Hashem is a reference to Torah Shebichsav. How does Rashi simply say that we expand it to Torah Shebal Peh? Here I would suggest the following. It goes back to its source. What is the source of the pasuk, Yishem Hashem Ekra, Havagudol Elkeinu? How do you understand that pasuk? So he pointed out the Marsha, the Charedim, Yishem Hashem Ekra, when you're Osek B'Torah, recite Birchas HaTorah. So the pasuk of Yishem Hashem Ekra addresses the scope, the Limud HaTorah, but not true, as he mentioned, according to Rashi. Rashi reads the pasuk not referring to the type of Talmud Torah at all. Kishem Hashem Ekra, Rashi said, means the following. Moshe Rabbeinu turned to Knesset Yisrael, Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I recite Berchas HaTorah, Kishem Hashem Ekra means the bracha of Berchas HaTorah, Havogod Elokeinu, Atem Tanu Amen. If I will ask you what type of limud, you know what you would answer? The pasuk doesn't address what type of limud. In other words, the domain, the scope, the quality of limud is not at all contained in the pasuk. Well, then you have a right, based on its reason, to argue that it applies to all Torah, even Torah Shebal Peh, as well. The pasuk doesn't address the type of limud, but according to the Rashi, according to Haredim, it certainly does. A fundamental issue. What is the nature of Berachas HaTorah? You know that there are several possible distinctions as to whether it's a Berachas HaMitzvah, Berachas Hodah, Brachan Chet Shel Torah. How critical is it that a person has to learn after they recite Berachas HaTorah? Today is in Tosus, it's in Brachos and Daf Yud Aleph, today is in Shacharit, it's in Mem Zayin. Well, if you argue that it's a Berachas HaMitzvah, well, when you recite the Berachas HaMitzvah, it must absolutely be followed by the Kiyum HaMitzvah. No? How can you recite a Berachas HaMitzvah and not perform the mitzvah? How can you recite Berachas HaTorah and not engage in Limud HaTorah? If you'll argue, like the Ramban, it's a bracha of Berachas Hodah, thanking Hashem for that experience, for Kabbalah HaTorah, it doesn't necessarily require immediate Limud. After all, the Berachas Hodah for Kabbalah HaTorah does not necessarily result in Limud HaTorah. Why is that so obviously true? If you assume as Reb Chaim that it's the Shem Hashem that requires a bracha, then Esek HaTorah is critical. When I invoke the Shem Hashem, when I involve myself in Limud HaTorah, then I'm obligated to recite the bracha. So a further difference is whether Limud HaTorah after Berachas HaTorah is absolutely critical. How necessary, in fact, is that? And guess what? Not surprisingly, the Vilna Gaon assumes that one must learn after you recite Berachas HaTorah, because the Vilna Gaon assumes the Nashim Berachas HaTorah means Einu Matzuv Yosa, because it's a Berachas HaMitzvah, and as a Berachas HaMitzvah, one is obligated to learn afterwards. The Machaber writes the following Chiddush: HaMaharher B'Divrei Torah. If a person thinks in learning, does not articulate, does not enunciate, so in such a case, Eino Tzarech Levarech, it doesn't require Berachas HaTorah here as well. If you assume that Kishem Hashem Ekra, when you articulate the Shem Hashem, you have to recite a bracha, I can understand very well that that applies to Dibur, but it doesn't apply to Hirhur. Hirhur is not called Kishem Hashem Ekra. However, if you hold as the Vilna Gaon that this is a Berachas HaMitzvah, why should you argue that no bracha is required on Hirhur? So guess what? The Vilna Gaon disagrees with the Machaber. The Vilna Gaon writes, of course Hirhur requires. After all, the Vilna Gaon writes, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is v'higisa b'yom v'layla, and ikar higayon is b'leiv. It's not necessary that one announce it, that one articulate, and therefore, of course, prior to Hirhur, B'Divrei Torah, thinking and learning, one is obligated to recite Berachas HaTorah. Here you understand very well that consistent sheet of the Vilna Gaon. It's a Berachas HaMitzvah, therefore Hirhur requires Berachas HaTorah. Women only recite Berachas HaTorah optionally. You are obligated to engage in Limud HaTorah after Berachas HaTorah. You know, today as the Machaber discusses in the end of the earlier Siman, Siman Mem Vav, you know, the early minhag is to get up in the wee hours of the night to recite Slichos. So, Slichos. Do I mention Psukei HaTorah? Yes. I articulate Psukei HaTorah. Yud Gimel Midos is part of Psukei HaTorah. No, it's a pasuk. But if you'll ask me why you're doing so, the answer is, I'm not doing so as a form of Limud HaTorah, but rather I'm doing so as a form of Tachanunim. Psukei HaTorah, B'derech Bakashas Rachamim, B'derech Tachanunim, does that require Berachas HaTorah? So today is that you find the Shulchan Aruch, again, one could argue very well that perhaps one could suggest that, you know, look, if the basis is Kishem Hashem Ekra, that's a Chet Shel Torah, and that should require Berachas HaTorah, unless you argue Chet Shel Torah means Chet Shel Talmud Torah, but Chet Shel Torah in the broadest sense, Kishem Hashem Ekra, that is called Kishem Hashem Ekra. I'm going to read Slichos and invoke many, many psukim. If you argue it's a Berachas HaMitzvah on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, then perhaps not. Then Psukei HaTorah B'Torah Tachanunim is not rendered as the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and as such, perhaps it is not required at all. And perhaps one could even argue that the scenario on Shavuos night is considered to be relevant to this issue as well. When am I obligated to recite Berachas HaTorah? I already recited Berachas HaTorah. When am I obligated to recite Berachas HaTorah again?
Well, one could argue, using that model of a Birchas HaMitzvah, very simply, that the determining factor, whether one is obligated to recite a new Birchas HaTorah, is one word, Hefsek. Hefsek. It all depends on whether there was any interruption between what you are doing now and the prior Birchas HaTorah. Let's assume, for example, that it is uninterrupted. In such a case, you would not recite a new bracha. And indeed, that is the view of the Rosh. You want to know whether you have to recite Birchas HaTorah or not, right? There is a simple factor, and that is, was there a hefsek or was there no hefsek? Magen Avraham points out, according to the Rosh, you're up all night, right? There was no hefsek. Why should you recite a new Birchas HaTorah? If you'll argue, for example, like the Ramban, that this is a Birchas HaTorah for Kabbalah HaTorah, maybe it's not a function of hefsek at all. If I were to ask you, why is that I recite daily Birchas HaShachar? Right, it's a question of hefsek. Maybe either Midaraisa or Midrabanan, Birchas HaTorah should be once a day, each and every day. We discussed in earlier Shiurim, it's not at all uncommon that a new day will result in a new obligation. Imagine you see someone didn't put on tefillin. So you'll ask him, right, why aren't you putting on tefillin today? He'll say, because he was up all night. Right? And therefore, don't put on tefillin today because you have to go to sleep to put on tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin, because the Mishnah writes, min haTorah, minimally, once a day, each and every day, has nothing at all to do with yes hefsek, no hefsek. Right? That is when one is obligated to go ahead and do so. The same perhaps is true when it comes to Birchas HaTorah, the view of Rabbi Yotam, the coming morning, one is obligated to say Birchas HaTorah, independent of any aspect of hefsek. Right? It's not simply based on the Hagdara typically of a Birchas HaMitzvah. That's the Chiddush Rabbi Kivig writes in Siman Mem Zayin. You know you're going to be up all night on Shavuos, so therefore if you have that luxury, you're not working the previous day, so you'll nap during the day in order to ensure that you're going to be up all night. Rabbi Kivig writes that next morning you're absolutely required to recite Birchas HaTorah. Now you napped Erev Shavuos and now you're up all night. According to Rabbi Natam, you're obligated to recite Birchas HaTorah every morning. And you'll argue, according to the Rosh, you're not. But according to the Rosh, whenever there's a hefsek, you're obligated to recite Birchas HaTorah. You should have recited Birchas HaTorah when you woke up from your nap. Okay, you didn't recite it then. Okay, fine, but you're still obligated to recite it now. That's the Chiddush Rabbi Kivig writes. If you nap during the day and you're up all night, so that next morning, everyone would argue that you must recite Birchas HaTorah, either because you're obligated to recite Birchas HaTorah now, or because you were obligated to recite Birchas HaTorah then, and if you didn't, okay, but now is still an opportunity to do so. We don't argue that once you didn't then, you're not obligated to do so now. And as such, that's the Chiddush Rabbi Kivig writes. Up all night, the li hefsek is a machlokes. Up all night with the hefsek, then everyone would agree that you recite Birchas HaTorah. That's Chiddush that Rabbi Kivig writes in Siman Mem Zayin. But this is unique bracha, bracha daraisa, when it comes to Birchas HaTorah, right? And perhaps one could argue that the Birchas HaTorah, right, really echoes all elements. We recite a series of brachos on Birchas HaTorah. Asher k'dushanam mitzvah v'tzivanu la'asot. Your first class sounds as though v'tzivanu, an element of a Birchas HaMitzvah. V'harevna. The Haravna seems to indicate the sweetness of the Torah Hashem. There is a Levush. The Levush writes that there's an element of Birchas Hanenin in Birchas HaTorah. The Haravna. And then the Bracha of Asher B'charbanu. That sounds as though the Ramban writes a Birchas Hodah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Knesset Yisrael and the dog Knesset Yisrael with the Torah Hashem. Our form of Bracha seems to incorporate all elements, even if in terms of the Hagdara they disagree, but in terms of the broadest text of Birchas HaTorah, right, that combination of the series of brachos in Rasai, it seems to indicate every element is indeed critical. The sweetness, the Masikus HaTorah. You know, Machlokes Rishonim, whether that's, why is it that Baharavna doesn't begin with Baruch? Why doesn't it begin with Baruch? Well, a couple of possibilities. One is that it's a bracha smucha lechavrata, or perhaps the Tosfos writes, what do you mean? It's a single bracha. V'harevna. When someone else is being motzi you in the bracha, don't answer amen after lasok v'divrei Torah, because the bracha is not yet complete. And a fascinating chiddush, and that is the bracha of Asher Kedushan B'mitzvosav and the Zeharevna, the Mesikus HaTorah and the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah are inseparable. In the Smucha L'Chavrata, that is considered to be a single bracha. Undeniably, one cannot divorce the experience of Limud HaTorah with the obligation of Limud HaTorah. You know, Ben Gvital writes in his introduction that, you know, sometimes Bnei Yeshiva make the mistake and they think that Limud HaTorah Lishma means that it should not be the most joyous experience. Almost that a person has to learn with a sense of amelus, meaning that no, this is not something that I thoroughly enjoy. And the Gleitar writes that that couldn't be further from the truth. Baharevna is built into the single bracha of Shekh Hashem Mitzasav Vitzivanu. Rabbi Yonah writes in his Pirushim Maseches Avos, Ukishatam Yageya Esatz Machabatora, when a person exemplars Yegia and Amelos in the Torah Hashem Tishtasheyava. A person has to be playful in the Torah Hashem. It has to be a thoroughly joyous experience. We don't learn because we enjoy. That is not what obligates us to. But the fact that the joy of Limud HaTorah, of the Shem Hashem Ekra, creating that bond with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in that inverse sense, right? That certainly is considered to be, right, a critical aspect of the enterprise of Limud HaTorah in the broadest sense. So the various deals that you find in the Rishonim and Achronim, what the purpose of Berachas HaTorah sheds light on the very nature of the mitzvah. And our recitation of Berachas HaTorah in its broadest sense, with the two or the three brachos, perhaps indicates the multiple tiers, the different nuances that one finds in Berachas HaTorah.
Do you know what it's like?